The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio.
Now, here's your host, Dr. Marlene.
You are listening to Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style, where we inspire women to go from well-behaved to making history. And, you know, I told everybody, we're going to the dogs today, you know. Cheryl Mathis is the dog expert. Now, with over 73 million dogs as pets to about 45 million people, it adds up to about 39% of the U.S. households with at least one dog. She's a certified dog trainer with a psychology degree. That makes her dangerous, guys. And she is the founder of LeashesAndLovers.com, an online social community for dog lovers. She's a savvy dog enthusiast, and she also helps others with advice and tips regarding relationships with their dogs and more. Welcome to Amazing Women, Cheryl. How are you doing today?
Well, hi, Dr. Marlene. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful today. Now, I must admit, you are the first dog person I have ever had on the show. This is such fun.
It is fun, and, you know, I feel so honored to be called an amazing woman, and I'll tell you, though, I really only am because I owe it to my dog.
Oh, now you've got two beautiful greyhounds, don't you?
It was my one who started it all, and then with that, she was the impetus of my wanting to start a business and my wanting to get another dog, and it's just, she's really changed my life and hopefully impacted so many other lives along the way, too.
And they're such beautiful dogs, too. The greyhounds are absolutely such beautiful dogs. But let's go back a little ways first. Now, let's start off with your younger years. Now, where did you grow up, and did you have animals back then?
That's so funny. Yes, I did. I not only had dogs, but, oh, my gosh, I grew up on a farm in Indiana.
Ooh.
Farm girl, really. And, but, you know, it was a different way of life than how my dogs are living now. I was kind of brought up with the notion that your animals lived outside. And so our dogs were out there, and we had rabbits, and my sisters and I would go out in the swampy area behind us, and we'd go catching all kinds of critters. We'd catch frogs and actually mice, and we'd bring back all kinds of things, and we'd have little toad races, as we call them. And, you know, we weren't really afraid of any of those kind of things, and we didn't mistreat them. We were actually very, you know, kind to them, and we'd go catching them and play with them and then let them go back to their surroundings. But we had ducks and I don't know. It was
every conceivable animal there is that goes on a farm, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with animals, too. I mean, everybody had animals, and we did, too. And
It gives you a different
perspective on life, doesn't it?
It really does. And I think, you know, right away from the time I was young, then it taught me to respect animals and love them and nurture them. And that's one of the things I think is the greatest gift, too, that we can give our children. And my dogs were like the precursor to warming me up to having kids, and now that we have them, kids are a little more work. It makes the dogs seem so easy.
<You
know? laughs> If we could only just leave them a bowl of food and some water and be on our way for a few hours, you know. That'd be nice. But
every mother's dream.
Yeah, wouldn't it be, though? But and my kids just love the dogs. And, you know, from the time they were born, there were these huge giants walking around them. But they've learned to be nice to the dogs and treat them well, and the dogs have learned to manage to be around them. And I just think it's one of the best things for kids to even grow up around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, what did you do to become, what you might say, a leader for people with dogs? I mean, you refer to yourself as a dog expert. What did you do to do that?
It came about in a sort of ways. I first became a certified dog trainer, which is a lot more work than I realized, but I loved every second of it. But it took a year to go through all the book knowledge and the tests and then the online apprenticeship. And, you know, and I still feel like the more I learned, I felt like the more I needed to learn. But it even, to even back up a little bit before that, too, is when I first got my dog, and it reminded me of what all there was to about having a dog. And while it's easy, there's also some things that go with it. And these days, too, you know, we're all a lot more conscious about getting our dogs more exercise and the kind of foods we may want to feed them. So it was that interest, but then being an actress as well, I wanted to do something where I could host a show that had something to do with what I would love. And once I got my Greyhound, it just seemed to all come together, and I thought, you know, it would be really fun to do something about dogs. And the more, and then I started talking to dog lovers, and I realized how important it was, especially for the single dog lover, that whoever they may date loves their dog as well. So,
now, wait a minute. You said you were an actress?
Yes,
I didn't see that any place on anything that you sent me.
Yes, that too, that too. Actually, a former news reporter, psychology major, as you mentioned. And once I came to New York after living in the Midwest and doing TV news in three different markets, came out here to New York, and just the allure and the excitement, too, of, gosh, you mean maybe I can take that on-camera knowledge and do something a little more happy than than covering the local news.
Now, you've got the title of the dog expert. Did that
yes.
come out of your company, or did someone attach that to you because of your knowledge of dogs?
I created that. It came out of the company.
Okay, good for you.
Yes, and it's being trademarked right now, and so it's right.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah, and it came, again, all the inspiration from my dog, and because I wanted to do this show, and then in the meantime I'm trying to pitch this TV show about people, pets, and dating, I thought, well, you know, I can at least start something local where I can gather dog lovers together and unite and talk with one another.
Now, that's your business. Now, it's called Lashes. Excuse me. Leashes and Lovers.
Leashes and Lovers, yes.
Uh-oh, I hear my music coming up, you know, on that faux pas. We're up against our first break, so I want everybody to please stay with us, and we're going to see you right on the other side of this break. Now let's get back to Cheryl, and let's talk dogs.
I could get my dogs to start barking or something to give those intros as we come back.
Oh, my word. They know they're on the air. What do you know? Now, your business is called Leashes and Lovers. Now, why the name, and how did you make that up for that type of a business? And I'm going to ask you, who designed the logo with the two dogs and the hearts and the leashes?
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is.
It's
cute.
And the guy, you know, especially when I started, I had no money. I just went on Guru and put out there, you can put out whatever it is that you need. And I said, you know, I need a logo, and sorry, I only have like $100. And got that one as one. It was a few variations on it. And right away I was like, oh, I love it. That's it. And the guy who designed it went on to win several awards with it. So I got very fortunate there.
That's wonderful, because it's really cute, you know, and it just kind of, it really sets it, you know, Leashes and Lovers.
Right, and I had in mind right away that I like things that have maybe start with the same letter, so trying to play off of something what's dog-related and leashes or collars and canines. And, you know.
Yeah, a branding expert would have told you it did good.
Oh, good. I guess it was just kind of an instinct as far as that went. Something I wanted memorable yet short enough. So just wanted the idea of, okay, if the leashes actually got a little tangled, how dogs really open us up to meeting one another, and that's sort of the nice part of it. So maybe if those leashes actually do get tangled, it could lead to a good thing.
Now, when you started Leashes and Lovers, did you want to provide something special for women dog lovers, or what was it about? Maybe it was for like the lone business owner, you know, that are all alone in their own home or anything? What was it that you wanted to do?
These days, even a lot of the entrepreneurs, we kind of feel like we're flying solo.
But, oh, yeah.
It really, you know, now it's molded into a lot of things, but it did start out with the idea of for the single dog lover, and so that they could get out there and meet others more easily and let the dog be the icebreaker. But since then, and quickly, within a year of starting the business, I had so many people approaching me saying, you know, I really would love to take part, but I'm in a relationship, or I have a boyfriend, or I'm married, or we have kids, but can we take part? And so many others wanted to, and I quickly realized that, you know, it's not really just for the single dog lover, but it's no matter what phase of life we're in, we really want to be connected more to others. And I think especially when a dog is involved, you really find out right away the core of someone. You know, what's important to them? What do they like? Do they laugh right away? If you get them started off on the topic of talking about their dog, or maybe they don't even have one right now, but it's a dog they used to have, it just seems like you immediately find out more about the real person. So that's what I thought. You know, the common bond really is that we all want to find love in our life, and it doesn't mean just love for a partner, but love in every aspect. And So why not have love and have those leashes in your life, too, and all become one happy pack?
Okay. Now, I'm trying to talk to my engineer right here. So, now, many people, when they start a business, however, they got many challenges. And starting up, like, you might say, an unknown. Tell us about some of your challenges.
Yeah, there's a lot. There was a big learning curve. And then as I learn something, I go on to the next level and you know what it's like. And then there's another learning curve. But especially in the beginning, my background was, I loved dogs and been an actress and been a news reporter and various other things and having a psychology background. But I hadn't really run a business, per se. And even though I taught business communications at Notre Dame and other places, it's still different, though, when you actually launch your own business.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not just the communications of the business or the marketing. It's so many other aspects that I really didn't have any idea about. And maybe it's better that I was naive about it all in the beginning because I just sort of stumbled forward. And
oh, no, no, no. Even though you've done it once, you will do it again and again.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's even the key. You know, we all stumble. And it's a matter of just picking yourself up and moving on. So I'd say in the beginning, some of those challenges were just figuring out, well, how do I do a site and who do I get to do it and what do I make things look like and what do I have it say? And so, you know, right away you're kind of becoming a copywriter and maybe I didn't actually do the design, but I still had to convey what the idea I had in mind. You know, even with, like you mentioned, the logo and, you know, I wanted something intertwining and I want maybe two people or how this all works. But so, you know, with that, I mean, pretty much all the content is what I wrote to be on this site, as well as, you know, I want this button to look like this. Or also from a woman's perspective, and maybe you feel this way too, but I know when I go to a lot of sites, I get really confused about where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. And you know,
oh, we all get
so
that
much,
way.
Yeah, sometimes there's so much going on, and I thought, you know, I want to try to make all the navigation just clear and simple, and here's where you go to do this, and here's where you go to do that. But mainly to keep it concise in terms of, okay, you want to meet somebody, here's how you sign up to do that.
Ooh, that's fun. That's absolutely fun. Now, many business owners have they're big goal setters. Now, do you set goals? And if so, what kind do you currently have?
Oh, yeah. I always had those goals and those dream goals. You know, I'm still wanting to to achieve the first goal I had with this, and
okay,
turn this into a TV show someday, and also, but writing a book was always a goal too. And actually, I'd like to say I wrote the book, and it should be out this fall.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and it's fun. And what really helped, you know, I've always wanted to write a book, and I don't know if you're the same way, but secretly, I think ever since I was a kid, I always thought, wouldn't it just be great to have your name on the front of a book and feel like you contributed something, that you had something to say, kind of leaving your mark, you know?
I have no idea what it's like when you do your first book. It's like delivering a baby.
Yeah, exactly. You're a baby. And, you know, I always wanted to do one but never really knew what to talk about. And then after a few years of running Leashes and Lovers, I thought, you know what, I've talked to so many dog lovers and they have so many great stories. And so it's a combination of stories as well as tips. So always leaving some, you know, here's five steps on this subject matter at the end. But it's been really fun pulling it all together. And
great. Well, when you get it out and get it up, you'll have to give me a call and we'll have to get you back on. We're going to talk about the book then. How about that?
Yeah, sure.
Now, let's talk about dogs. I've been telling everybody that we're going to the dogs on this show. So let's talk about dogs. Now, you have great information about what kind of dog to buy that is best for what kind of need you have. And I thought it was really interesting, such as attention, exercise, companionship, love, and calmness. Can you give me some, or give everybody else some ones? Let's start with attention. Now, if you want attention, what kind of a dog would it be a good dog for you to have?
Yeah, and there's so many breeds today, but here's some of the more popular breeds that people may want. And definitely, if you want to walk down the block and have people even notice you especially, then these are some of the dogs that certainly will help get you noticed, because your dog is certainly going to be getting noticed. The Chow, the type that have, they almost look like a lion to me.
Uh-huh.
A Great Dane, of course, can hardly walk down the street without people stopping and going, oh my gosh, how do you live with that dog?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and the Hungarian Poolie, they have those long, they almost look like they have dreadlocks. to an Afghan. You know, they're just so beautiful. Like, you just feel like you want to.
You're constantly grooming them.
Yeah, and then the extreme of that is the Chinese crested, the hairless dog. So, those will certainly get you some attention.
Now, what about exercise? What kind of a dog for exercise would you get?
Yeah, and if that's really what you want in your life, then pairing yourself up with a dog who wants that just as much as you is certainly the right move. A Labrador and a Golden Retriever, you know, they actually need a lot of exercise, as well as even the Staffordshire Bull Terrier and the a Jack Russell Terrier. You know, they're highly energetic. Dalmatian, a Boxer, a Boston Terrier. There's several breeds, but, you know, I always find it interesting, though, for instance, like the Labrador and Golden Retrievers, number one and two, and so as far as popularity of dogs, and they make great family dogs, but I don't know if a lot of people realize they're very energetic dogs and they need a lot of exercise. So, you know, make sure that that's going to be part of your life if those are the kind of dogs you want.
Now, companionship, in other words, a lap dog, is that what you're talking about?
It could be, yeah, you know, just an even-keeled dog, one that's happy to curl up in your lap and sleep with you, cuddle with you, one that you look at that just seems like, oh, they're so loyal. And when I think of those, I think of there's the German Shepherd, there's the Sheltie, the Toy Poodle, the Yorkshire Terrier, a Chihuahua. You know, those are great companion dogs that just seem like they're happy to always just go with you, be with you. The miniature Schnauzer, to name a few.
What about a Love?
Oh, Love. I know. I love that one because if you crave love and affection for yourself from your dog and also from other people, you know, if that's really what you're wanting in your life, then these are some of the type of dogs, too, that will help you probably become a more open and loving person. And I think of the Corgi, the Dachshund, a French Bulldog, the Brussels Griffon, the Westie, a Standard Poodle. A Shih Tzu. I mean, those are just a type 2 or a Bichon Frise. When you look at them, you just like, they just make your heart melt, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Now, calmness. There's got to be some out there for calmness. And some of the ones you've talked about are definitely not calm dogs.
Yeah, and, especially for a lot of people who may be high strung or maybe they have a very stressful job. For them, getting a calm dog could be the perfect thing to soothe them when you walk through the door. A Cavalier King Charles, the Greyhounds, which I have, which, you know, I didn't realize it at the time when I was getting one, but that's the perfect dog for me because I think I really need a dog that just kind of settles me down after the day. The Rottweiler, a Mastiff, and some of these are maybe even bigger dogs.
A Mastiff is a calm dog?
Yeah, actually, they're so gentle. They're so...
And so big.
And so big. And it is fine because a lot of the dogs on my list in the calmness category especially are what you might think of bigger dogs. There's some small ones, too. I've got, like, the English Toy Spaniel and even the King Charles. You know, those tend to be a little bit smaller dog. But a lot of the other ones...
things that look hairless, that they've got little hair in the front and stuff. I saw one in a movie the other night. They are the weirdest looking little dogs I've ever seen.
But it's amazing, like, especially you mentioned even the Mastiff, though. When I see them, I just want to wrap my hands around their big head. I mean, they're just, and they're a very gentle, calming dog. But the Greyhound, too, people think they're very high-strung. But, you know what, after they come off that racetrack, they just want to lounge on your couch or in your bed. Or
oh, yeah. You put out that much energy, you want to flake for a while, right?
Yeah.
Now, next comes naming your dog. Now, what does your dog's name say about you as a person? And I'm going to give you a for instance. What if I wanted to walk through New York City, you know, a big town like New York City, with a big bulldog and a sparkling leash with his name Killer and a huge nameplate and diamonds on the front of him. Now, what does that say about me?
It is funny because don't you immediately you think something about the person. It's not,
oh, yeah, but what is it about
me?
And I mean,
way,
you know.
Like, okay, she wants attention. She's got diamonds on this dog, but yet she's trying to say, you know what? I'm open to meeting you, but at the same time, you know, stand back a little.
Oh, good.
I'm going to measure this up, and then maybe we'll move forward.
Oh, I love it. Now, you know, since Paris Hilton started carrying her doggy every place,
Yes.
You're seeing dogs in all types of places. Now, okay, if girls want to get a dog that is date bait, mm-hmm. what kind of dog should they get?
Well, definitely a it could be a cute one. Well, it kind of depends, too, what kind of guy she might be going after. So, you know, if she wants a low-maintenance guy, she may want to get a dog that, you know, is more of an outdoor dog, one that's going to be loyal to her man and easily pleasing, too. So that girl in that instance may want to get a lab. But now she's very social and likes to go out and be everywhere, she may want to get a pug. If she likes jewelry and accessories, she may want to have a golden, which may reflect that she likes life's extras and that she might want to date a while, though, too, before becoming committed. So it's interesting how a lot of times the kind of dog we have, you know, can also be bait for the type of person we may want to attract, but at the same time, it instantly sends a message of a bit of what we're about and what we may be after.
Now, let's not leave out the guys.
Okay.
What kind of dogs, all right, that are guy dogs will attract ladies?
I think for a guy, a good dog is a bulldog. And I think
Ooh.
It kind of sends a message to you that, you know, a bulldog kind of waddles. He might move a little slower. I think it sends a message that the guy is probably a little more low maintenance. He's easygoing, friendly, a sweet temperament of a guy as well as in his dog. Now, if he has, say, a boxer, he may be perceived as more trustworthy, a little old-fashioned, and yet sexy. Something about the boxer kind of sends that message. Now, a pit bull may say that, you know what, this guy, he commands some attention. He likes things a certain way. It might be his way, always his way. Where a chihuahua, you know, I think sometimes when a guy has, whether it's a chihuahua or a type of small dog in general, can certainly say that, you know, he's very comfortable with his masculinity. He's totally fine with walking a small dog and that he's secure with himself.
Oh, I have never seen I've never seen a guy with a chihuahua.
No?
I have never seen one.
Unless
he's holding her dog.
Right. There's sometimes you can send messages as well. If they're straight, I think it says it sends a message that they're very comfortable with themselves and secure. Also a lot of gay guys, too, may tend to like the smaller dogs as well because they're a little easier to carry around.
In a big city, I'm sure a smaller dog is easier to contend with, so to speak. Now, we see pictures from all over the world of people wearing clothes and having their dogs dressed the same.
Oh, yes.
Now, is this a turn-off, a turn-on, or what is that all about?
Well, yeah, it's all in the eye of the beholder, you know, but it can certainly be a turn-on to some in terms of that, you know, as long as it's, I think guys will see that with a woman, that if she's dressed like her dog, if it's done subtly, just to a small degree, that she's a very classy person. She likes to take care of her dog, and her home is probably neat and orderly as well. But then there are some who kind of maybe carry that to too much of an extreme.
Like the movie, yes. Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I think in that case, guys are certainly going to see that as being a more high-maintenance woman. Or also maybe even a woman who, you know what, she wants to be in a relationship right away. She wants a baby right away. And, you know, those messages are all fine if that's what the person wants. But oftentimes that's what we immediately perceive from that.
Now, can someone's dog be the start of a turnoff to become dateable?
If the meaning that they would be a turnoff to that person?
Well, yeah. I mean, would it be that if somebody had a dog, okay, and another the opposite sex saw them, would their dog be, you know, telling that other person that they're not really dateable because of the kind of dog they are?
They certainly could, unfortunately. And as sweet and cute as I think every dog is, you know, often
you're just biased, that's
it's
all.
Up to the owners in terms of how well we take care of them. So, for instance, if you were walking down the street and you saw a guy with a dog, but the dog was just kind of mangy and not brushed and dirty and didn't look like it had a bath in a long time, I'm not sure I'd want to go see what the inside of his apartment looked like.
Ooh, so you are so right.
Yeah, it's not even the dog's fault, but it could be sending a message that, again, it's a reflection of the person at the other end of the leash. And usually a well-kept dog is a well-kept person.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, what does someone do to make their dog and themselves more dateable?
Well, here are some tips that I call, especially if you're thinking of dating, is give your dog a bath, and or if you're not into that, have your dog groomed. I'd say at least once a month, or if even possible, you know, when I get in the shower, it's my Sunday ritual. I bring my dogs in the shower with me. And
there you go.
Up and, yeah, and that's easier for, you know, I have short-haired dogs, so it's not a big deal, but especially if your dog needs to be groomed, groom them. Give them some, there's dog mints out there now. Just a nice collar, and you don't even have to change them out that often. I've probably even had the same one I use on them for a couple of years, and I'll throw them in the dishwasher or the washing machine, and, you know, a nice decorative collar. Those can certainly be just little subtle messages that you enjoy your dog, you take care of your dog, and again, like I said, it really ends up all kind of being a reflection back to you.
Yeah, okay. Now, once you get a new dog, now, are there some rules to follow to starting off on the quote-unquote right paw?
Well, certainly. I would say, first off, depending on what the dog's temperament is like, is I would look into some kind of training sessions. And oftentimes, most dogs, a simple 6-week course, you know, may be the all they need. Teach them some basic manners, not to jump up on others, be respectful of others, to mind you, not pull you all around, you know, when you're walking them on the leash. So, and, you know, just in terms of starting off on the right paw, I think is, especially if you're going to meet someone, I think where your dog can really help you out, and this is whether it's on a personal level or even on a business level, is your dog right away will have you being honest right from the start. So if somebody's not into your dog, then so be it. Then it's not going to probably develop more personally and maybe not even professionally.
Hmm.
Knowing that also when a dog is involved in your life, and no matter what capacity, they teach us how to compromise right from the beginning. So we need to be more accepting of, you know what, there may be hair in the room, or now I may need to share more things with my dog or as part of my life, or compromising too in terms of what I expect out of others. I think our dogs teach us also to start off on the right paw by taking things a little slower. You know, dogs don't always rush right in. They go in there, and when we watch and observe a dog, they go in and they sniff each other out first, maybe even circle around each other. And, you know, that is just so naturalistic in terms of maybe we should also size each other up a little. And certainly we do, but, you know, meaning just take things a little slower than we may at certain times.
Hmm. Now, you have something called Fetcha Biz.
Yeah,
it's all one word. Now, what is it, and what does it do?
Well, Fetch-A-Biz is the business aspect for dog lovers. So, for instance, regular dog lovers can come to the site and make a profile and feature themselves and their dog if they have one. It's not necessary to have one. And Fetch-A-Biz is the side of it where businesses can also come and feature and showcase their products and their services.
Oh, what a great idea!
Yeah, and right, you know, we've already got the dog-loving audience. We got the target audience right there. So, and it doesn't even have to be specifically a dog product. Women especially seem like they really love to come to the site and cater things for their dog. So even businesses that maybe more women want to attract more women, it's a great idea to showcase their items there and can do things in a more social media way now. So it's not just listing your name or your business and your address or phone number or so, but it's photos and it's videos and being able to blog and putting your URL link to your site and your Twitter name and your Facebook link and even publish articles all right there within your one profile that kind of all works back and links back to one's business site. So it kind of helps enhance that SEO results too, as far as on Google.
Oh, absolutely, because the more links you've got, you know, out there, the better off you are and the better off your website is.
Exactly.
Your website must be getting huge by now.
Yeah, it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. And I always tell people, too, you know, there's strength in numbers. So
great.
It's fabulous to put up a website and all, but a lot of times when you also tie yourself into one that has a huge network.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you off for just a sec, so I want everybody to stay with us, and we're going to see you right on the other side of this break. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Amazing Women, Brains, Beauty, and Style, and this is Dr. Marlene. We are not going to have time for any more phone calls, for any phone calls today, because it has been a wild and woolly technology day for us here. So we're going to get right back to Cheryl. Cheryl, I want you to tell everybody how they can find you and how they can get in touch with you.
Oh, love to. Leashes and Lovers is the best and easiest way. It's Leashes Like a Dog Leash, L-E-A-S-H-E-S, and lovers.com. But if you forget, you can find us at Lovers and Leashes in case you get it.
Oh, I love that. That's good.
About any other way, or if you forget and you put just an N in there, you'll find us too. So it's just leashesandlovers.com, and from there you can access everything. So if you just want to make a profile of you and your dog, or if you're a business owner and you want to make a business profile, you can find that at Fetch a Biz. And we also have a lot of resources on this site, too. So all kinds of articles and tips and expert advice. Or if you want to come watch even what some of our events have been like, you can experience those virtually. And you can always just reach me, Cheryl with an S, S-H-E-R-Y-L, at leashesandlovers.com.
Ah, but you do have events that are actually, you're back east, you're in New York, right?
Right, we're out east, we have Hamptons events and hikes and wine tours and cocktail parties and pub crawls and various
things. Oh, that sounds like fun. When are you going to come out here?
Yeah, it's fun in the area, that's great, and if not, that's exactly why I wanted to start everything online, because I have people worldwide who make profiles, and you know what, so that way you can still connect with people in your own neighborhood. Connect for doggy play dates or make some friends. You can add a friend like you would on Facebook on this site. But at least the nice thing here, too, is you know immediately everyone who comes to the site is a dog lover and wants to encourage that and enhance that, whether you're a business owner or just a dog lover in general.
Oh, that's great. That's absolutely great. Now, I've got a couple of last questions. You talk about merging dog houses as in merging households. You have some tips in doing this. Can you give us a couple of the main areas and a couple of tips to remember in merging dog houses?
Yeah, exactly, because, right, whether you're partners or roommates even, or you just got married and one of you has a dog or both of you are bringing a dog in this, how can you merge these dog houses so that you really can become one happy pack? And that's really the goal, too, of Leashes and Lovers. I really want people, again, to have love and leashes in their life. So some of the things I say is, you know what, be consistent in what you do. Talk about how you're going to discipline the dog, when you're going to walk the dog, how often and when you're going to feed the dog. And not only just for the two of you or however many might be involved in that household, but it also affects the dog because they like routine. They like to know what's coming up. And they're always flexible and up for going out whenever. But I'd say mainly, you know, plan things out, be consistent, and make time for just you and your dog, and then make time for all of you to celebrate and go have fun and do things together with the dog.
That's great. Now, after doing all this and starting your business and all of the design work and the website and everything else, first of all, would you do it again? And secondly, do you have any tips for women thinking of starting a business? Can you help them kind of like pass some of the potholes?
Yeah, you know, I would do it again because of what I know now.
always have to know what you know.
I had that knowledge then. And the thing is, and that's partly, too, really why I wanted to create Fetch a Biz as part of this, is Fetch a Biz is also, it's a network, it's a resource for women business owners to rely on each other and look to one another. And you can do things on there like literally click network with this person, and the two of you now are connected. You can recommend each other's businesses, but it's a way for all of you to talk with each other and get advice from one another, and also have calls monthly with experts so that we don't all feel like we're going about this alone. You know, it really is like a support system to be out there and help each other in business so that we all can make it and survive in this. Because things aren't really so hard when you find others who've done it. and that's really a key I found is, you know, when I start feeling down and, oh, I don't know how am I going to handle those autoresponders? I've never done that before. But, you know, whatever the case may be, you find others who've done it, and there's usually people part of the network that I want to bring with the Fetch a Biz and build it continuously. So in a number of fields, you know, one another can rely on each other.
That's the way it should be with us women and stuff. And what would you consider your most rewarding thing that you've from starting Leashes and Lovers?
Yeah, there's been so many. And I'd say a lot of it's really been the personal connection. Because there's been a lot of rewards, like being on E! And being on Bravo and being in the New York Times, an entrepreneur, and getting to talk with celebrities about their dogs. And that's all the cream, the icing on the cake, as they would say.
Uh-huh.
No, it's funny. I'd have to say the ones that really, really have touched my heart are, for instance, like the time when I took my dog, Shiraz, to the Gilda's Club, which is a cancer center in Manhattan. And she's just laying on the floor, being herself, and you'd think, okay, the dog's just laying on the floor. But this woman who had come down after their counseling, and she started petting Shiraz, and next thing I know, tears are coming from her eyes, and she's relieving her anxiety and what she's going through. And the petting became more intense. And I really didn't even say anything, and Shiraz didn't say anything. She was just enjoying being petted. And I just felt... I felt so rewarded in a sense that she trusted in us, complete strangers, to be the ones to kind of be there for her. And I think that's what really comes down to it with a dog is no matter what your business, it's like the dog is always there to support you. You know, the dog is always behind you 100%. And if you can look at that dog at the end of the day and say, you know, just thanks for being there. Thanks for still loving me and thanks for believing in my cause, I think is really a great meaning of life.
Oh, my word. That brings tears to my eyes. What can I possibly say?
I know, that's what I'm telling you. You know, especially in business, yeah, get a dog. They'll just help encourage you, keep you going. I mean, believe me, there have been times I so wanted to just fold the cards. Things beyond me, sites crashing or web designers going left and right. And, you know, there's just...
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, like today, you know, there's always technology complications. But, you know, I just looked at my dogs and I thought, no, I have to move on because there's dog charities and shelters and rescue groups that we still want to support and give recognition to. There's dog lovers that need to connect with others. There's businesses that need that support to be able to rely and call on one another for answers and of their questions. So I thought, you know what, the greater good is always there and we'll get past it, and we have. We've gotten past a lot of hurdles, and you know, still going to be an uphill climb. But that's what they always say. You know, you got to enjoy the journey along the way. Once you get to the top, it's okay. That's great, but it's really the journey along the way.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It has absolutely been more fun going to the dogs today.
Isn't it? Dogs is not a four-letter word.
I could not resist it when I got you. I went, it's got to be going to the dogs, and I'm sorry about it. It's a play on words, I know, but, you know, I've had a lot of fun, and there's so many dog lovers out there. I mean, me being one of them, and there are so many people out there that love dogs. I think this is absolutely wonderful. Thanks again for being with us today.
The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio.